الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. I'd like to begin by a story that I saw in Toronto Star today about an elderly lady who got on the train, which was crowded. She was old. She was, you know, walking with a cane. And she reached to the point, normally they have these three seats reserved for the elderly or the those who have physical challenges. And the three seats were occupied. One of them was kind of an old person, but there were two other who were young ladies. None of them got up. Rather, they had closed their eyes as if they were sleeping there. And this lady was just standing. Somebody asked her, "Do you want help?" She said, "No, I'm okay as long as I can hold onto the pole or something." And this is where, you know, this person who wrote this basically asked this question: what has become of us that we don't give up our seats for the disabled and elderly, especially if the seat is reserved for them? Apparently, it's a very simple matter, but the reality is that the society is moving so fast towards technological, you know, advancement, but it is going down at the same speed when it comes to the basic morals and ethical, you know, values. This simple issue of decency, you don't really need to be told about it. That when you see an old person, you know, you are young. You might not even be young, but relatively healthy person. You get up and give your seat for the elderly. You know, when the people, when the society was that not that much advanced, these things were very important. Nowadays, things have reversed. And this is what I'm saying. It's not knowledge, it's not money, it's not science and technology which can be the criteria of what is a civilization. It is, you know, this interaction with one another. You know, how we respect one another. And this is where we see that this issue of, you know, respect for the elders is the first value which just goes wayside in this march for modernism in that way. And actually this starts right in the beginning. First, the parents lose their position. By the time the, you know, children here reach to high school, even teachers don't have, you know, any position in the eyes of the students. Rather, the teachers have to be sure they don't do something which will offend the students. It's becoming the other way around. You know, and then that's what you see around. Especially when we talk about elderly people, you know, alhamdulillah, our faith has been very strong about it. And let me just share with you two or three, you know, statements and an example. One is the statement from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This might be, you know, putting this team at a very high level. But that is the purpose of the Prophet. When he talks about the elderly in the family, how does he relate that person? To what position? He says, "A shaykh fi ahlihi." The elder person in the family, in his family, كالنبي في أمته. He is like a Nabi in his own ummah. You know, this to show the importance that an elder person of the family should have in the eyes of the younger ones. Amir al-Mu'mineen, in his wasiyat to his son, al-Hassan alayhi salatu wa salam, one of the things he says, this is a longer, you know, advice in wasiyat, he says, وَرَحَمْ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ الصَّغِيرِ. When you look at your younger ones in the family, you know, how, deal with them on the basis of benevolence and mercy. وَبَقِّرْ مِنْهُمَ الْكَبِيرِ. And do توقير. توقير means to respect. And those who are all elder, you know, respect them. The sixth Imam is quoting a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where the Prophet says, مَنْ عَرَفَ فَضْلَ كَبِيرٍ لِسِّنِّهِ فَوَقَّرَهُ. If a person, you know, respects somebody who is older because of the old age, and, you know, shows tawqeer and respect to him, مَنْ عَرَفَ فَضْلَ كَبِيرٍ. Whoever knows the importance of an elderly person because of their age and then respects him, آمنه الله من فضع يوم القيامة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that good deed will give him security from the agony of the day of Qiyamah. And this is where we see that, you know, this is the statements from our Imams, and there are quite a lot more, but let me end with, you know, this story. Everyone of us have heard it. But you know, stories are there just to remind ourselves of the teachings and the moral lessons. Look at this event where Hassanain, alayhi salatu wa salam, both of them are young. They saw a person who is old, elderly person, doing the wudu wrong. If somebody does the wudu here next to me here, we say, oh, your parents didn't teach you how to do wudu? You didn't go to madrasa? Oh, madrasa is not going, doing his job right? No, that is not the way of correcting somebody who is doing something wrong. This is the lesson. They are grandsons of the Prophet. They could have just said to him, you know, we are grandsons of the Prophet and let us teach you how to do the wudu. Right. But they said, you know, he's older than us. How do we say to him that the wudu he's doing is wrong? You know, how do we say that to him without humiliating him, feeling embarrassed here? So they said, okay, let's you know, go to him and we'll say, can you see which one of us is doing a better wudu than the other? And both of them did. And both of them did in the same way. This is where this old man says, both of you are right. I got the message. I got the message that the way I was doing the wudu was not right. And this is where he says, you know, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for getting the guidance from your grandfather and to have his grandsons in this way. And this is where I'm going to correct my own wudu from now on. Salawat alayk barak. And so this is a general, you know, example of, you know, how to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, especially in the context of, you know, keep the age in mind. Somebody is older, you still have to have that special respect of, you know, maintaining their own dignity and izzat for that old age. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wisdom to understand our duties towards one another. And keep us among the followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, salawatullah alayhi ajma'in.
إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان العين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المظلمين بحلمه. ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه. سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة. أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة عما سلف من ذنوبكم. Talking about this issue of respect for the elders, let me end with one more ayat here, especially the issue of respect for elders in general is there as we looked at the ahadith. But especially when we are talking about the elder within the family. If you look at the surah number 17, ayah 29, ayah 23 actually onwards, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the respect for the parents when they become old. My emphasis is not just about respecting the parents, it is about the issue of respecting the parents when they become elderly. Where he begins by saying, قَضَى رَبُّكَ أَن لَا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Where he says, don't worship anyone but Allah and be kind to your parents. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ عَلْكِبَرْ إِهْدَاهُمَا وَكِلَاهِمَا. If one of them or both of them reach to the old age with you. That is the point here. It's interesting, you know, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. Number one, verbally. We have to be careful about how even we talk to them. Well, he begins by saying, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Do not even say, oh. You know, out of frustration or whatever, sometimes they might be wrong in putting, you know, the blame on you or, you know, being angry with you, but it comes with that age. Sometimes they might not, you know, understand things in the full way. But even then, you are asked to maintain your patience at that time. Number two, and continuing with this issue of speech, وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا. Do not chide them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And whenever you talk to them, talk to them in a kind manner. And then he comes to the body language. He uses the term where he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاهَ الظُّلُّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. You know, lower your wings out of mercy for them. What does it mean? We don't have wings. What it means is that even physically you should show humility, you know, and respect for them. You know, simple thing that we learn, that if the elder is coming up, you stand up for respect. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, this is our old Eastern way of doing things. But these are the things which, if it is there in the initial stages of life, it stays till the end. And even body reaction or body language is very important when we talk about interacting with the older people is concerned. Let me now, you know, kind of digress from this issue of respecting the elders, especially the parents on that level, to a figurative level. We have a statement in our hadith where we are told, remember your father could be one of the three. The one from whom you were born, and the one who gave his daughter to you. So we call them father, and then the father-in-law. And then the third is the one who has taught you and given you ilm. He is also a father in that way.
And it's same kind of, you know, respect is extended that when we talk about parents and elders, it goes to the, you know, father-in-law as well as those who have given knowledge. And if you look at it on a symbolic level, even at a higher universal form, then let me, you know, share with you a hadith which Sheikh Saduq has written in his book Al-Amali, through his sanad going all the way to the Prophet, where one day the Prophet was addressing Ali. It's kind of a long hadith, but one part of it here, where he says, Ya Ali, anta akhi wa ana akhuk. O Ali, you are my brother, and I am your brother. Ana al-Mustafa lil-Nubuwa. I have been chosen for prophethood. Wa anta al-Mushtaba lil-Imama. You have been chosen for imamat. Wa ana sahib al-Tanzil. I am the one who brought down the revelation of Quran came for me. Wa anta sahib al-Ta'wil. But the explanation of the Quran is through you. وَعَنَا وَعَنْتَ أَبَوَى هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ This is my point here. Me and you both are fathers of this ummah. So they are Nabi and Imam, but now the Rasul is presenting himself and Ali as أَبَوَى هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ Fathers of this ummah. Ya Ali, anta wasiyyi wa khalifati wa waziri wa warifi. O Ali, you are my successor. You are the one who is going to be my wazir and warif, somebody who will inherit me. And this is where we see that this concept of, you know, father relationship or father figure in a symbolic level, you know, we look at Rasulullah as well as Ali. You know, sometimes when people ask, why didn't Ali go to Saqifah to fight for his right? Because he was informed what is going on there. And so the question is, why wasn't he not, you know, be proactive? The point is that, you know, if the children sit down and have a dispute on the right with the father has, the father will not go down to that level of humiliation. It is the duty of the children to come to the father. And Rasulullah actually said to Ali, in one of the last, you know, wasiyah that he had made to Ali, he says, remember, after me, things will happen. You don't go to the ummah. They have to come to you. You are like the Kaaba. Kaaba doesn't go anywhere. The Ummah comes for pilgrimage to the Kaaba. And so this whole issue, sometimes we hear, you know, why didn't Ali do this and that? The point is, he was not supposed to do anything. It was the Ummah who was supposed to go to the Imam. And unfortunately, they did not respect his position as an Imam and did not respect his position as the father of the Ummah after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidil mursaleen wa shafi'il mudhribin nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان
ما أحيى أثار البدء والطغيان هادم أمنية الشرك والنفاق حاصل فرول البغض والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.